But now it's time to think about whether you really need that credenza from Grand Rapids. The White House is out with a 5-year plan to cut the federal real estate footprint, and it has specific targets for more cuts to your agency's office space. It's at the center of a new memo from the Office of Management and Budget. The strategy says agencies shouldn't just freeze their footprints. The new priority is making them smaller and more efficient. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details and analysis of OMB's new Reduce the Footprint policy. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I can see people breathing in already so they can fit in their new tiny cubicles. How is OMB asking agencies to even cut space more?
Well, in many ways, OMB is just building on the freeze the footprint strategy that's been now 2 years old. And when I look back at my stories and some of our coverage, I couldn't believe it's already been 2 years since Danny Werfel issued that memo. But now OMB says, okay, you did 2 years. Let's look at 5 years. What's the 5-year strategic plan for each agency, how they're going to manage, consolidate, and dispose of office space and other real property holdings? In the Reduce the Footprint memo, David Mader, the OMB controller, is telling agencies to do two main things. First, number one, set annual square foot reduction targets. So each year they're going to set a target. The following year, go back to that target and go, did we accomplish it? Do we accomplish it? Or do we need to up it, down it, depending on mission needs? The second thing Mader is telling them is adopt space design standards for the future office space, meaning how much square foot does each employee need, how that square footage will be set up, you know, open space design, cubicles, offices, conference rooms, etc. Now, Mader says in an interview with me yesterday that the OMB understands that every organization has a unique set of circumstances, so they want them to continue to reduce their total footprint, but look at it from a mission perspective, and then redo that baseline every year. I think also the adoption of space standards for office space would also be based on each agency's needs. So it's not just less space per employee automatically, but each agency will have to look at it from a different perspective. I caught up with Danny Werfel, the former OMB controller, the author of the Freeze the Footprint memo, and now a director with Boston Consulting.
From my time there, I think one of the mistakes that is often made is you create a one-size-fits-all requirement or goal or objective, and you spend a lot of time kind of dealing with the fact of unique agency missions and unique agency challenges, and you spend too much time kind of grappling over that rather than, you know, kind of moving the ball forward. So by recognizing up front that we can all share in a guiding principle that we have to do better to make our space more efficient and reduce costs in this area, but then pivoting and saying, okay, I'm not going to create a one-size-fits-all framework that everyone needs to fit into, but instead I'm going to have each agency, you know, construct a plan. But as long as it's under kind of that same guiding principle that in the end is going to benefit the taxpayer, it's a really good approach. It'll get buy-in from the agencies as they're developing their own plans with a little bit more flexibility.
Now, going back to the memo real quick, OMB also wants agencies to use a new tool that the General Services Administration is developing to make better decisions. Mader says GSA created the Federal Real Property Profile Database several years ago, and it was just basically a static inventory list. Now GSA is using software and tools and an updated inventory and benchmarks from agencies to help them make better decisions of how to dispose of or consolidate office space and other real property.
All right, so we've heard that the freeze the footprint has been a success. How can agencies now move to this reduce effort?
I think in many respects the key here is data, and the new GSA tool is going to be at the center of that data, and I think it's why it's called out in the memo. Werfel says agencies are actually making data-driven decisions about real property, which was something they just couldn't even do 2 years ago.
When we launched the new inventory under that executive order, we added data elements that could get us much smarter about inventory management. Things like, what is the utilization rate of each building? What is the condition of each building? What is the cost of each building? What is the mission relevance of each building? And you could start to see, you know, and define by looking at that data what an underperforming asset is, one that's high cost, low utilization, doesn't have a real connection to mission relevance. And you can also see where there might be other agencies that have underutilized buildings that present opportunities for consolidation. But again, it takes time both to build that inventory, ensure it's reliable, ensure the information is up to date, and then I think we're at this point right now where that foundation is laid. Now it's time to make sure that we're really actively moving data into formats that can enable smart real-time decision-making.
I also caught up with Kenyatta Robinson, a senior vice president for public institutions with Jones Lang LaSalle. It's a big real estate brokerage firm. He says data is key to any for any organization when they're making these mission and activity-based decisions around space plans. He says without that data, you really don't know where you're going, where you're heading. I mean, very similar, Tom, I'll make the eye roll analogy to an enterprise architecture with IT. You got to know where you are to know where you're going.
You got to know what you're doing. But, all right, there's a song
thank
like
you
that,
for yeah. that. For that short interlude. But not everyone is happy with the federal data the way it exists now. I also caught up with Congressman John Mica, and he says the data GSA and other agencies have just isn't good enough to make those decisions. Mica is the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Transportation and Public Assets.
The first thing, you got to have an inventory, a good solid inventory. The second thing, you got to know the age and condition. Third thing, you got to know the current use and the best potential use and the opportunities for consolidation. Four, also sale or disposal, and it has. You've got to have the laws that support all of those efforts. So, hopefully, we can get better law in place. Hopefully, we can get better inventory and. Then some motivation to consolidate, eliminate, or dispose of property.
Now, to that end, Micah says he will be holding a hearing on agency inventories and real property disposal efforts later this year. He also plans to work closely with Congressman Jeff Denham on a new bill to add some accountability and what Micah calls teeth to the law for how agencies dispose of real property. The hearing and the bill will be something coming up later this summer, so something to look out for.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, Jason, what should agencies keep in mind now as they head down this five-year strategic plan for consolidating, reducing, getting rid of real estate?
Robinson of Jones Lang LaSalle says that there are three questions any organization has to answer about their real estate needs. And while he says cost savings are a real consideration, because people, of course, are usually the second largest cost to any company.
One of the first things organizations have to do is just to get a grapple, if they don't already have it, on what space they have, what spaces are occupied, what spaces are vacant, where pockets of vacancy may exist that could be eliminated or consolidated. Could organizations better densify around a space that they have? And so really doing some of that baseline data collection, some of the visual data mapping, looking at supply and demand, that's really the foundation of any space management program. The second thing you have to do is really then perform some of your gap analysis, some of your space planning, some of your move management and coordination, ordering furniture. These are all long lead items. One of the great things about what's happening now with the transition from freeze to footprint to now reducing space is that organizations have had a chance to adapt to this new normal, this new environment, and they've been able to take a strategic look at, you know, what their space holdings are across their organization. And so now some of these long lead items hopefully, you know, have been accomplished and have been accommodated, and they can now look forward toward doing some of the more strategic occupancy planning.
Now, Robinson says Jones Lang LaSalle works with several federal clients, including the Veterans Affairs Department, to improve space utilization. He says over the past few years, VA is just one example, has taken a more proactive approach to reducing space needs, and at the same time, they are saving money. So those things do go hand in hand, though the idea here from his perspective is understanding your needs, understanding your mission requirements, and then the money comes after the fact. But part of that proactive approach is also understanding, of course, how your agency works. GSA, for example, when they moved from their permanent headquarters to their temporary headquarters in 2013, then Administrator Dan Tangerlini measured and collected data on foot traffic. Again, going back to the data piece, Tom, that he looked at when did people come, when did they go, and how many desks were occupied at any one time. Werfel says that approach shows just how mobile feds have become, and that is much different today than, again, it was just 2 years ago when Freeze the Footprint came out.
5-10 years ago, we definitely were not at a Pareto optimal point in terms of leveraging virtual tools to do meetings that could cut down on travel and even enable a telework workforce in certain parts of agencies. Absolutely, there are certain categories of jobs and activities where you've got to be there, you've got to be on site, it's got to be done in person. But there's also a set of activities where you can be equal, if not more productive, by being mobile and being agile. And I think the reality is that this, it doesn't happen overnight where you figure out exactly how to make those new business practices work effectively. It takes time, and organizations grow into these new standard operating procedures around doing meetings and doing things virtually. And I think the government has grown up a lot over the last few years and is ready to start to put the learnings that they've had into the bottom line of government by reducing our footprint.
So both Werfel and Robinson really did praise OMB's new memo, saying agencies really are now ready for this new change to how they work. Congressman Micah, well, he wasn't so excited. He says, hey, it's nice to put out a memo, but more has to be done, more has to be done more quickly. He pointed to several vacant buildings on acres and acres of land at different military installations or other civilian agency areas, saying, hey, these buildings are just standing there. Let's get rid of them already. So I think this issue, Tom, is going to be definitely something to watch for.
Well, at some point, I wonder, Jason, will employees say, you know what, we don't want to work in an abandoned warehouse that has just been dusted, and it's 5 miles from the nearest, I don't know, hot dog stand.
Coffee shop, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, so, I mean, there is a quality of life issue at some point where the location is, and then you can do anything to a building, but where it is kind of hard to change. What do they say? Location, location, location.
Right. And I think the bigger issue is not so much the location, but as much as how much space do I have to work? I mean, if a lot of people at GSA, it took a long time to get them to understand the hoteling system, the idea that you're not going to have a desk anymore, you're going to have a drawer, and that's where you're going to keep your stuff. And, you know, you can work in desk one on Monday and desk 7 on Tuesday and desk 30 on Wednesday based on your needs. And, you know, I think in some ways it's a big change for government that people do have to get used to.
Well, maybe they can just take big warehouses and fill them with rows of thousands of those chairs like they had in high school, where there's a little desk that comes up and pops down and swings down in front of you. And that's all people need. You're working on a mobile device. All you need is a chair.
That and a plug, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there'll be wireless charging by then.
Wireless charging
in this brave new world. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, thanks for that report.
Thank you, Tom.